He never said one. He never does. Is it go on one? Or is it...
Streaming in this realm and beyond, you're listening to Paranormal Investigator Radio with your hosts, Peter Meyer, Rich Nicodem, and Dr. David DeVos.
Phone lines are now open. In North America, call toll free 1-888-429-5471.
Are we broadcast out there?
International callers, please dial area code 530-763-1594.
Ruth, is this your room? Oh, Woody. I just walked into something.
Yeah, you did.
Well, she passed right through you because I thought it was coming.
Oh.
Oh.
Oh my god.
I
just saw fireflies. Who's in the room with us? Milton?
This is paranormal. I think you walked into a radio broadcast is what you walked into. Welcome, everybody, to Paranormal Investigator Radio. And we're broadcasting live, as always, from DePaulo's.
In Rome, New York.
In Rome, New York. Downtown Rome, New York. Yeah, my name is Steve Roscoe. I will be playing Rich Nicodem for this evening.
My name is Mike Perillo, and I will be playing the role of Dr. David DeProspero.
I'm Peter Leonard, and I'm going to be playing myself. I said myself, not by my, with.
I sat there and kind of stared at you for a second. How's everybody doing this evening?
I'm fantastic. Doing excellent.
Since we have,
how are you, Steve?
I'm doing very well.
I guess I'm fine. What the hell? I'm...
Well, Steve asked. Steve kind of asked the both of us, and no one responded to him. So.
Oh, are you talking to me? I'm sorry.
Oh, absolutely.
So this is North America.
Yes.
So I'm trying
for our international listeners, I'd like to say ciao.
Please call us
hola.
In tonight.
Hola, mi amigo.
It seemed to work the last hour on Live Paranormal, so we thought we would continue on our discussion of what happened at the fabulous Rucker Mansions in Utica, New York, over the past weekend. We had a fundraiser for the Landmark Society of Greater Utica.
Yes, we did.
We raised them about $3,700 in total. And
we got to give them a big check.
Yeah, we got the big check. Check that baby out on Facebook. Let them try cashing it, though. But we gave them a big check.
Oh, the big check's on Facebook? I've seen it, though, yes.
If you're looking for Rip after this week, we'll be broadcasting out of Guadalajara, Mexico.
They did give us the plane to Cuba, though. We debuted our new presentation, and then we paranormally investigated the hell out of that place.
That we did.
That places. Oh, my God. That rum that
those,
you brought in, Mike.
Those Wayne. Places.
As I said on the last show, I was impressed with 100 people, how smoothly everything ran. The organization we had, I don't mean to downplay our previous thing, but the organization we had at this thing was on spot. We moved 6 teams of people every half hour. Nobody ever ran into anybody. Nobody. There was.
Oh, do you hear that sound, Mike? That's our awesomeness. That's the sound of our own awesomeness.
I'm used to hearing it.
And nobody had a bad thing to say about the event. Nope. All I heard was, oh, my God, I had such a great time.
It was a good time. Everyone thought it was.
Yes.
So if anybody out there was there and you'd like to call in, the number is 1-888-429-5471. Once again, 1-888-429-5471. The clip we played for you at the beginning, although humorous, and I probably should have won some kind of Academy Award for that performance.
I'd just like to say
was funny.
Every time we do an investigation, we have at least one EVP with somebody doing that.
I will say, though, that was the first time something actually passed right through me. And I've heard over the years where people have said, well, that's one of the most amazing things I've ever felt. I didn't like it. I don't ever want that to happen again.
This weekend, I felt something not through me, but right by me.
The cold wind?
Yes, in the hallway there where that room where we had.
As opposed to the hot winds from the ZD.
It was in that small hallway in that room where we had basically, I don't want to say we had, and it sounds so crazy, that we had that entity in that room. I don't want to say we trapped it. We didn't trap it.
It was his room.
It was his room. He didn't want anybody in that room, and I felt him actually pass right by me, and that was kind of strange.
Maybe if he didn't want you in the room, it's not so much that he maybe he swung at you, but since he's invisible and
maybe
not physical, it just kind of felt like a breeze.
Maybe.
Well, thank you for setting that up.
I mean, if it was his room and he didn't want you there, and it was an old folks' home. Old people can be cantankerous.
Just a little bit.
And I doubt it was the first time an old man has took a shot at you, Steve.
What are you saying, Mike?
I have no idea. No.
So let's set this up. What they call historic Rutger Park in Utica, New York, was a series of five houses. The first one they built is ironically called Number 3, which is the Roscoe Conkling Mansion that was built around 1830. You know, Roscoe Conkling was a U.S. senator, ran for president, so on and so forth. He was connected with a lot of conspiracies. The original family that owned it, the Millers, when the father passed away, they split that into five equal parcels. They sold it, and then they built the other buildings. The one they call Rutger Number 1 is also called Munn's Castle, which in its later incarnation was a nursing home from 1952 to about 99 or so when it was shut down by the state. And for those of you who got the pleasure of going in there, you probably understand why it was shut down. The hallways in there would not fit a wheelchair.
It's astounding though it ran that long, because you look at the decor and everything in all the rooms just screams still like 1940s.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
to know that mm-hmm. it ran until 1999 is astounding.
Which at that point, I mean, I don't want to ever mention who the owners were, but that's probably borderline on torture why that was shut down. I mean, there is no elevator in the building whatsoever. There was just a gigantic gone with the wind staircase that went up three stories.
It's huge. And we have our own theories on, you know, not to be too graphic, but we have our own theories as a group on, you know, how somebody would get a person that has deceased down those stairs, where it's just phenomenally, it just is huge.
I would say, venturing at the least, they had to have been carried into the hallway to be put on a gurney. If they weren't just carried all the way down.
Can you imagine now? Can you imagine if somebody deceased, a huge guy like 200 pounds, and somebody, two people or three people the size of one of our group members, Melissa, it'd be next to impossible. Even on a stretcher, a gurney with wheels would be challenging.
And we're talking like a hallway, maybe 2 feet, 2.5 feet wide.
That one hallway, especially off of where we set up base camp.
Yes.
That went back to that back room that, like, I had to walk down sideways to get down.
That's where that clip came from. We played.
Oh, really? It's like, yeah, how do you, obviously you can't roll beds in and out of there. I can't even see effectively a person going down it with like a walker. It's such a narrow hallway.
And then you have rooms that are maybe 10 foot by 10 foot that had four people in it. Because you could see the four call buttons on them.
Mm-hmm. The four box things on them.
Those four call buttons, four beds, hospital beds, you know, they would be the size of twin beds. But it would eat up so much room in there that it would just be unattainable for anybody.
Now, do we know, as a nursing home, was it for the elderly people there who are so bad where they're practically bedridden nonstop? Or was it more of a, like, glorified retirement home?
I would hope that they were bedridden. I mean, I don't mean to wish that on anybody, but really there's zero privacy. Steve's got his iPad that you just went to something else. Yes. You would hope so, because you could see there was no lounging area, there was no common eating area.
But if it was like a glorified, at least the people can come and go and do that sort of thing. I mean, you know, during the summer they do have a nice lawn.
I don't think so, though. You know what I mean? I don't.
But the way the call button and stuff were set up would make me believe that it was.
It's just crazy.
And that's, we've said it before on the show, and that's why I said the unsettled energy that's in that place, just because of what's there.
For as modern as it was, it has the feeling of the old asylums. You see, it has
probably
that
almost
sort of,
worse.
You know? It has that sort of, I don't want to say dark vibe, but that sort of malaise, I guess.
And again, I say there's four people in the room. There's three people watching one person die. How do you even
in that close
that
quarters?
Mental torture
and
alone.
If, and
like,
if you think about it, you know, not I'm sorry, I cut you off, but. They're that close because those beds, and they'd be right on top of each other. If someone is passing, as Pete just said, can you imagine the horror?
And you could see there was nothing in the ceilings there for curtains or
tracks or anything.
It was just bed, call button.
Maybe
call
one
button.
Of those stupid folding screen things.
The big check.
You know, unless they moved him into another room to die. That
like they had a death
about,
room. Bring him to the death room, Timmy.
Like even downstairs where we were in the massive library, you could see the call boxes on the wall. So even even areas that were considered
that whole place was cram them in, get as much money as you can, ship them out when they pass.
Now that you bring it up, like when I said, you said there was no rec area, thinking about it, they had a kitchen, but there was no area that looked like it was an effective dining room.
No.
You know what I mean? I mean, they had those rooms off the gallery downstairs, but there wasn't.
Yeah, but like the room with the suit of armor?
Yeah.
That had call boxes on the wall.
Did it really?
The room next to it with the little fireplace, that had call boxes. So every part of that house was used as... What, unless it was in the basement, did they bring him in the basement to eat? But then how do you...
I don't know. I wasn't in the basement. But yeah, there's that kitchen, but then there's no...
No, I couldn't imagine them taking him into the basement to eat. That'd be crazy.
Unless they were in the little room that you were in, if you want to explain that part of the investigation. That would probably be the only room... No, because that had call boxes in there.
The room with the step down?
That could be maybe.
You know what? Where the Christmas tree was in that room, maybe that was their dining area because there was no call boxes in that room that I can recollect, and I'm pretty sure there wasn't.
And by call boxes, we mean the little buttons to push for help if you're.
Was the nurse's schedule still up?
We couldn't get at that door.
Actually, we came upon and I had a nurse in the group I was leading at the time. We come around on one of the fireplaces. There was a list of meds that these patients were given at night, and I can't remember the name of one. And it was a antidepressant. And she says, "This is the nasty little secret or little trick that nurses do. That if you're on this type of medication, they give it to you at night because it makes you tired."
Mm-hmm. So whether you need it or not, it helps you sleep. Kind of like giving whiskey to a toddler.
Pretty much.
And no, I'm not advocating giving whiskey to a toddler.
No,
just a little bit.
But then we ascend up to the third floor. We have more beds. That beautiful cupola where you could see the entire city of Utica from it, from the third floor. And then it's nasty little secret. And and the attic portion
the secret.
Was the cell. We don't know what the hell that cell was used for.
Crazy Aunt Bertha and her voodoo ways.
We're pretty sure it predated the nursing home, I would hope. I would hope.
Well, even then, if it predated the nursing home, I automatically go to the worst of all scenarios. Who would they put there?
Well, my theory was it was some type of handicapped kid that they had in the 1800s. They were pretty
probably
much
because if you remember back in the 1800s, if you had a disabled child, it was brought shame to your family.
Maybe they used it to lock up family valuables.
I don't know. The first time we investigated it, they had all those religious statues in there. It's almost like they were trying to keep something in there, so they knew something was
not right.
That was what always piqued my interest. Now, that was where Rich actually set up. Now, see, we do things a little different in our group. Instead of, like, leading groups, we have the group go to the investigator. And we take an investigator and we put each one on a floor, or they team up, the ones that aren't comfortable leading a group.
And it really works well.
Like, in this case, they had six separate floors they could investigate, three in each house. And basically what you're getting is six different investigative styles, and see how the different investigators flock to a specific sort of investigating that they like.
Yep.
Like, Mike did his thing, Steve did his thing, Rich was doing his thing, John was leading a group, Mark, Larry. We miss you tonight, Larry and Mark.
Yes, we do.
Rich, are you ever coming back?
I was actually busy scaring some of my people, but...
Actually, we have one who's a nurse.
Well, this is interesting.
Oh, okay.
Hello, Michelle.
Hi. I'm the nurse you were talking about, and the medication was amitriptyline.
Hold on just 1 minute. Hold on a second. Go ahead.
Hi, Michelle? This is Michelle calling from White Light Research. And I'm the nurse that was in Steve Roscoe's group, and the medication was amitriptyline.
There you go. Hi, this is Steve Roscoe. How are you?
Hi, I'm fine. How are you guys?
We're doing well.
We're doing excellent.
Hold on just a sec. Let me turn my car off. Okay. Yeah, I was the nurse that was in that group. I'm
from
White Light Research.
Mm-hmm.
So if you
hold on.
If you're out there in Facebook.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I was out there.
Did you have a good time at the event? Michelle?
All I can hear is Pete.
Michelle,
all I can hear is Pete.
Did you have a good time at the event?
I did. I enjoyed it. And my teammate, Sabrina, enjoyed it too. So we put pictures on our Facebook site and we shared some on yours too.
Excellent. You know, I think I've seen them this evening. I'll get it out.
I shared like 20 of them.
Oh, you shared 20 of them? I didn't see 20 of them. I seen like three or four of them.
Let's go look.
Oh, no, there's like 12 of them.
Okay. We're actually looking at them right now, actually.
So, Michelle, did you have a favorite part of the mansions by any chance?
The nursing home, basically.
Yeah, everybody likes the nursing
home. The whole nursing home was my favorite part. I was also there when you guys put the entity in his room, basically. Hello?
We put him to bed. No. So I'm looking at your staircase picture right now with the shadow. Did you see the shadow moving up and down the stairs?
I did, yes, actually. And that wasn't the first time that we seen that, but I seen it.
The caution tape adds that crime scene horror to it.
It does. It does.
Well, if you remember, that was the part of the floor that was soft.
Yes, that's why.
If somebody would have stepped on it, it would have been a crime scene.
Oh, right at the bottom of the stairs.
Yeah, I actually almost fell through that.
Well, it can pretty much be given. Any rip event's either going to start or end with caution tape. So.
Michael?
Yeah, I was listening to the radio show, and I heard Steve say that the nurse that was there, and she's reading off the meds. I'm like, oh, that was me.
Yes.
So I thought I'd call in.
Well, we definitely appreciate that, because there's no way any of us would have remembered that. Or be able to pronounce that, so.
And can we get any of that? What's it called again?
Amitriptyline. See, I can't say it. Go ahead.
Well, you can get you can get that anywhere. Just ask any of your doctors.
Oh, great.
She does have a picture up here of the cage.
Yes, she does.
So if you're listening out there on Facebook, it's called White Light Research. Stop by, give them a like, give them some Facebook loving. And you can see some pictures from the event.
Yes, they're
very good.
I know,
we didn't actually get a chance to take a single picture.
No, we were too busy.
I could admit.
No, Jen took some pictures. I've seen some pictures from Jen.
Well, when did she sneak them in? She didn't get any of us. She's supposed to take pictures of us. Where?
She gave me the option to take pictures, and I told her no.
Way to go,
Mike. I think she was doing it between the tours.
But yes,
yeah, and
that,
the call boxes too. The call boxes would have to be in every room in a nursing home. So I'm guessing by the way it looked and it felt, it was a it was an assisted living facility, because there would be no way you'd be able to get a body down those stairwells, especially if they were over 200 pounds.
Oh, there's always a way to get a body out of there, but
gravity does most of the work.
Well, you don't want to be messy about it.
Right.
Yeah, I was looking at the stairwell going, there's no way they're getting a bed or a gurney down this, the up or down these stairs.
Mm-mm. I agree with you, but...
Did you play with the old telephones? That was one thing I wanted to experiment with this time, and I completely forgot the old telephones on the wall.
We actually had a couple
of
people...
I actually had a hankering to do that, but I didn't want to get zapped.
Smart call.
Yeah, I didn't know if it was going to be zappable or not, so I was like, no, I'll just leave that for next investigation.
It's all good.
In a rip investigation until somebody gets zapped.
Oh, yeah.
Zapped, hurt, pushed.
Exactly. We've all been pushed one time or another.
Most of us push each other's buttons.
Which was evident that night as well.
We're looking at one right now, Sabrina posing with the tub. That is that tub alone has to be about a ton of cast iron.
Yeah, yep.
Could you imagine hitting your head on that thing? Mm. You'd use all 9 lives in that one shot,
ooh,
believe me.
Yes, you would.
After hitting your head on the tub, the fall down the stairs wouldn't hurt so much.
No, like you said, gravity does most of the work. Well, that was the story.
Yeah,
of the Hulbert.
Go ahead, Michelle.
Yeah, I took a regular picture just with her in it goofing off, and I said, okay, now you got to get on my picture. And she looks at me, she goes, excuse me? I said, get on my picture. And I took another one, and I looked at her, and dang, said, that would hurt if you fell and bumped your head. I said, pretty much that would be where you'd stay until they come to pick you up.
Yeah, I think so. That tub, actually, I would love to have a big tub like that in my house.
Oh, good. When I renovate my bathroom, you can have mine.
But I want one of those jet tubs, you know?
Yeah. So,
Michelle, do you ladies have any events coming up? You want us to plug for you?
No, we have 3 investigations going, and I just wrapped up one. I actually got a haunted item from this woman from the Paracon. And
oh, really?
She walked up to me and said, here, have this, and get it out of my way, and just do something with it. And I looked at her, I said, okay. I said, well, do me a favor, just give me your name and phone number, and I'll call you back Friday, which would be like 5-7 days from now. I said, if everything's gone good, then I'll take it away. She said, yeah. So I called her back on Friday, and she said, everything's good in the house. She's got no negative energy. She's not had anything done. So she's like, yeah, thank you. And that was the end of that one.
If it's a Rolex, we'd be more than happy to take it away from
her. No, actually, it was one of those little antique bellows. It has the leather on it with the wood.
Oh, yes.
It smells very musty and old. Yeah, mm-hmm. She apparently came out of a house here in Baldwinsville. So it followed her to her new house, and she didn't want it because her new house, when she moved in, she said it felt light and warm and everything else. But then as soon as she unpacked this box with this bellow that she didn't even know it was in there, it as she said, it all went to hell.
An antique bellows. So that's one way to blow smoke up your ass.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I couldn't resist.
Yeah, I know.
I'm sorry.
But, it was pretty good. No, we don't have any events coming up. Hopefully we're going to make it out to a couple more during the next summer.
As I understand it, that you two ladies are the only ones in your group right now?
No, we actually have 2 other people in our group, Liz and Mike. Mike is my IT specialist, and Liz is my business partner.
Oh,
and
okay.
And she deals with all my legal issues and things like that. But right now, they're going through a rough patch, so Sabrina and I are getting out there and just keeping everything going while these two are trying to get everything settled. Mm-hmm. So next year, we'll all be going out to everything. So hopefully Paracon. We can go out to the Scaracon and some other events that you guys run and a couple more.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yeah, life gets in the way every now and then of our fun.
Yeah.
In the real world?
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm going to go in and take care of my family. So you guys have a great evening.
Michelle, yes, thank you for calling tonight.
Thank you. All right, you guys have fun.
Take care.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Well, how often does that happen?
What, a caller?
Well, no. Well, that too. But, you know, you sit there and say, well, we ran across a sheet of medicine, and, geez, I can't pronounce it. I can't remember what it was. Yeah, but I had a nurse in my group, and all of a sudden, here's the nurse that gave us a call. That was great. Thank you, Michelle, for giving us that call. That was fabulous.
Yes, they're fabulous. If you're out there, go show them some love on Facebook. Let's get their numbers up.
Oh, absolutely. Please. They're fabulous people. Great people.
Light Research. But you know, I found something in one of those medicine cabinets that gave me the heebie-jeebies.
What'd you find?
Mercuricome. Do you remember that?
Oh,
crap?
I remember that nasty stuff you put on cuts that stung like a son of a gun.
Used to burn your skin off.
I think, you know, when you were a kid and you had a boo-boo and you seen your mother go into the medicine cabinet and grab it, before she even pulled it out of the medicine cabinet, you started crying because you know it's going to hurt.
I don't want to hear these kids anymore. Oh, I got it so hard, my phone. Have some Mercuricome put on a knee strap.
Yes, and exactly.
You'll be punching yourself in your own face from the pain.
Yes, you will.
How is that for dating ourselves?
That little brown bottle of goop that was nasty.
And I think mothers used to like putting that on
just to see,
just for
get
punishment.
Some. It was kind of like I'm going to get even with you type of thing, you know, you little brat, you.
You know, I'm actually old enough to remember actually still getting medicines by spoon as a kid, but
I do too. Yes, absolutely.
Oh, and that thermometer. They used to stick it where the sun didn't shine.
Well, see, I've never had that thermometer, and thank goodness.
Pete, the fever strip isn't working. Get the thermometer. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That's kind of frightening, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, what? Should we play a piece of clip? A piece of clip. Let's play a piece of clip from the investigation. Which one should we play?
You pick.
Well, they heard at the beginning the opening Emmy Award-winning thingy.
the Emmy Award-winning thingy, okay.
So let's play them, the one voice that did come over the spirit box out there, and we'll see what you think out there in Radio Land. That wasn't it. That was just dramatics. Here we go. Who's in the room with us?
Milton?
Did you all hear it? One more time.
Who's in the room with us? Milton? Who's in?
I kind of heard Milton twice. Once by the guy, and then a lighter Milton at the end, maybe a female. Said
a lighter
Milton.
Milton.
A lighter Milton.
That was after he was thrown down the stairs. No. But that was the clip that we played at the opening where he said something passed through me.
Mm-hmm.
You could hear Milton.
Mm-hmm.
Milton. So, Milton. Ironically, if you do a little research on this site, a different group had brought a psychic medium through the building.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the names of people she was getting a message from, mental message
really?
From. Another one was Johnny, did which we also that. Have an EVP of. So there's a little, how should I say, verification of ability.
Mm-hmm.
And the other team actually didn't have the EVPs or the spirit box evidence.
Mm-hmm.
Showing these things. So it's sort of building a case there that something's going on, and it has a few resident, I won't say spooks, Mike. I know we're not allowed to use that anymore. You have to refer to them as Astral Americans.
Are you the one that come up with that name? All right.
So let's play the call-in sound again if you want to call in. While we have a piece of pizza.
Are now open. In North America, call toll free 1-888-429-5471. International callers, please dial area code 530-763-1594. Visit us online, paranormalinvestigatorradio.com.
We have pictures.
And special effects.
Yeah, let's go with the alien music this time.
What else we have, Mike?
I like that.
Let's lower that so I don't hurt Don's ears over in the studio. We're sorry. Oh, Lordy. Should we talk about a different phenomenon? I'll play another clip.
Absolutely.
Would you like to play another clip?
I think a lot of the people that listen, all two of them, really enjoy some of the clips.
Well, it's at least good to know we have a nurse in
us. I know. We have at least one listener, which is good.
Yes.
So we have... What do we have? What should we play for? How about... Ooh, walkie trigger. Should we play him the walkie trigger?
I don't know what that is.
Sure.
We got called into a private residence. The lady's husband had passed away. I guess he was not a very nice person. And things were happening. Was she pushed or something? I don't remember what actually led to the call. But there was something that specifically led to us being called in. This was about 4 or 5 years ago. And we went in. And as we always do, we start setting up the equipment. We set up what we call a charging table. So first thing that we're out were the walkie-talkies. They're all sitting in the chargers. The cameras, we're undoing the cords, the wires. Nobody's actually near the charging table when all of a sudden the walkie-talkies start to go off all by themselves. And this is what happened.
That you with the walkie-talkie?
No.
What was it then?
That was the walkie, but nobody touched it. Listen, guys. Where's the other walkie?
Bob, do you want to talk to us?
Yes, Annie, yes.
Did you hear that? Yes. Said yes.
Bob, was that you?
Annie, yes.
I did too. Shh.
Bob, can you do that again for us?
Wow.
Do you need something, Bob? Somebody get a camera going.
How about that? That send the skitters up your alley.
You, was you with us that night? I don't think you were with us that night. So.
I find it hard to believe Eric was with you guys and I wasn't.
That was kind of an interesting night. That was only my, second or third investigation.
Now you have six people staring at a table watching a walkie-talkie talk to you and you're not depressing the trigger.
Yes.
My only... I don't know.
Go for it. Let's debunk it.
The skeptic in me, I guess, which is very rare, but...
Okay, Poncho just went by.
But the problem with dealing with a walkie-talkie is anyone on that channel could buzz in on it. Now, I mean, it was probably at night, I imagine.
Granted, though.
So what were the odds of somebody? But it's...
Granted, I could see that, but it was hitting because how would they... We're not depressing any buttons, so when we're asking these questions, Bob, is that you... And then blip, 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 blip.
I'm not arguing the hard.
No. And of course, it was no one outside because Mark, me, and was it you, Pete?
Yes, we actually ran running outside.
Well, I'm just saying that as a walk, it's hard to consider that, I guess, legitimate, at least for me.
That could have a 1 mile radius. I understand
that it's a walk, and you could be picking up somebody, maybe whoever they're talking to is outside. The race, so you know what I mean? You're only picking up half the conversation and the timing was coincidence. Or the fact that it's kind of like all back. Remember, we're old enough to remember cordless phones and all the times you'd cross radio waves. You know what I mean? You'd be able to hear your neighbor's conversations. Or even in the early days of cell phones, you'd be able to pick them up on like CB stuff. So, I mean, something like that sort of iffy for me anyway. I mean, you did get him to be like, Bob, do you want to talk? Yes. And then you said it again and it did say, so I mean that.
Well, now that Mike pissed on our parade, which we
no, no, it's, you know, Mike's good at that. We're used to him.
No. It's good to but be I can skeptical.
But yes. I can understand his theory, yes.
But that's my only gripe. But as walkie-talkies, they can pick up.
You weren't there that night, Mike.
And ironically, that was what the three of us immediately thought. We're like, let's go outside and see if a cop car or some type of rescue vehicle went by, and we intercepted them on.
Yeah.
Them on their channel.
I mean, like, yeah, the odds of, like, even a neighbor being on his walkie-talkie, but being a radio wave, it's very...
But who would have walkie-talkies? That's my only...
Besides us?
But it also, I don't think any of you were there, but I also had that happen in a house in Utica where I was setting up an estate sale. I think David was there, David and Mark, and I'm holding the thing in my hand. I'm not using it, and this little girl's talking through it. That there again is another example. Probably picked something up, just happened to catch the right frequency, but
yeah, that's one of the things that you never.
But it makes for a hell of a thing at a presentation.
That would make that would make an interesting. Like, I'm sure they have devices like this out there, or to get one that would monitor. I keep turning away, and my voice keeps shifting in and out. Incoming radio waves. So if you set the scanner up when you start your investigation, if something like that goes off, you'd know if the walkie picked up something or if it just went off with a weird voice.
Mm-hmm. See, I'm technology retarded. Do they have crystals inside of a walkie-talkie? Like police scanners and all them, they run on quote-unquote crystals?
I don't know.
I think so. I know there's...
You know where I'm going with this from the metaphysical aspect.
Quartz or something, and I might think so. Some sort of crystal lily. I don't know. There could be gremlins in them for all I know.
Well, see, a gremlin at this point would make more sense. So let's play that one more time for everybody out there. And if you'd like to weigh in, or if you've been an investigator and it's happened to you...
Let us know. Give us a call.
Your story. So one more time.
That you with the walkie-talkie?
No.
What was it then?
That was the walkie, but nobody touched it. That's the kind of thing.
Where's the other walkie?
Bob, do you want to talk to us?
Yes, Mary, yes.
Did you hear that? Yes. Said yes.
Bob, was that you?
Mary, yes.
I did too.
Shut your mouth.
Bob, can you do that again for us?
Wow.
I mean, the timing's very, very
right there.
Very good in your guys' court on this. The timing's very. The timing's very.
It has happened. A rare reversal by Mike. Or wait a minute. Let me rephrase that. A rare thinking about reversal by Mike.
The timing's very, very good on, and didn't do it again the rest of the night.
Nope.
I do believe you got pushed upstairs. Right?
I got pushed the very first time. Pete and I were going upstairs, and he went in the room first. And right behind him, it really wasn't a push. It was more of a grab than a push. And I went on 2 feet. I spun around, and actually Pete looked in back of me, and he says, "Are you all right?" I says, "I don't know." I says, Something grabbed me or pushed me or what have you. And we caught it on film, too. We caught it on camera.
Really? Seems like a place that has some activity, then.
So one of the things we stressed, guys, during the new presentation, for those of you who've seen our boring presentation for the past 2 years, it's completely different.
Electron wind.
We got rid of the spectral wind.
We did?
We've added a lot more metaphysical. We've added a little humor. Not that we're not funny enough as it is. I mean, you listen to the show, you know what you're getting.
Did you take it back to the Society of Psychical Research?
No, should I have?
If John Zaffis is the godfather of the paranormal, the Society of Psychical Research is the godfather of John Zaffis.
That is true. We're just the infants.
Exactly.
We're infants. The infants of the prayer. Maybe we ought to start wearing diapers on our...
I'm wearing one right now. Just depends on what I feel like. One of the things we talked about in the new presentation is the other Claires.
Clairvoyant?
Everybody knows clairvoyant, but we spent a lot of time on clairsentience, which is the paranormal feeling.
Clairaudience.
The feeling that there's something there, your intuition, I feel it. You could feel the energy changing. Yes, audience, sometimes sound triggers.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's the gustant, which is food related, that has to be rare because I don't even. And then there's a couple, 2-3 others that are like way out there. But
2-3.
But the clairsentient, we went on for quite a while. And that's paying attention to your surroundings. And we'll play one more clip tonight from the RIP archives.
Mm-hmm. The Vault of the Archives.
Starring guess who? Peter Leonard, Mike Perillo, and Steve Roscoe. This was at a home we were called into, where a child was seeing things, I believe, and the parents just wanted to verify what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
Mike has the starring role there. I think he uses the word duh.
Duh.
But you're going to hear a couple things. This is a spirit box session. You're going to hear us doing a real investigation. Well, no, your duh was timed perfect. Let's get this on. Here we go.
Let's give him a chance to answer. That's what I thought I said. Mm-hmm. What? Why do you want me to stop? Give me a good reason and I might.
All of a sudden I'm feeling really antagonistic.
That dog is staring right at us. Until you look at it.
Why? Why stop?
Because I'm going to punish.
Wow.
Intense.
Did you hear it?
Yeah, I heard it.
He said, I'm going to punish the kid.
Mm-hmm.
But did you hear the clairsentient coming out in Steve? All of a sudden, I'm feeling very antagonistic.
And I was that night. All of a sudden, I just was.
So as Dr. Dave always says, we have to use our human body. Our senses is the greatest paranormal.
The greatest paranormal tool, our body.
And that was a perfect example. He felt something changing. And there came through that very angry voice that he wanted to hurt the child. Let me see if I can isolate that one more time for everybody at home.
I stop!
Sorry.
I'm gonna punish the kid. I'm gonna punish the kid. I'm gonna punish the kid.
I'm gonna punish
the kid. Of course,
we're
losing some through playback.
I know. Mm-hmm.
What
Let's
do you
go
hear?
For?
Play one more time for me, if you don't mind.
You waited till I shut it down.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Let's see. It's right around here.
Ah. The I'm going to punish is very clear. I just don't know what he's saying there. Personally. And you say I'm going to punish the kid. I don't think he's saying that.
What do you think he's saying?
I want to say he's saying a name. I can't make out what it is.
I'm going to polish the kit.
Maybe. No, I'm going to punish is as clear as day. But afterward, I'm not so certain he's saying the kid.
Really?
Personally. Like, right. When you guys say it, it sounds like that's what he's saying. But listening to it, and if I had to make my own call, I'd give you a, I'm going to punish because that's obvious.
So what do you think he said?
1-888-429-5471. International callers, please dial area code 530-7.
I want to get an international call.
We
preferably a lady from Britain.
Hola, mi amigo.
The really bad Cockney accent.
And that brings up another thing. I mean, that's why.
That's why
all 15 of us can listen to it. We all hear something different. And
yep.
I don't know, because I'm going to punish, and I can almost hear that, but it doesn't sound like kid at the end. It sounds to me anyway like I can't tell you what he's saying, but.
Well, maybe we got to get the nurse and have her come clean out your ears. That will
maybe, because I do hear the kid. I'm going to punish the kid.
You know, but I'll be honest, like even at this past, the Finger Lakes Paracon, another group was giving me their audio evidence, and I'm listening to it. I don't hear it. I don't hear any of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we all do have different hearing.
Oh, sure we do.
It's a matter of, and I'm not saying you're wrong.
No, absolutely, it's pretty much a subjective thing.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of rip stuff that they've played over the years, and Dr. David will say, oh my God, I hear this, and I'm like,
yeah.
for him to actually hear something,
when we do spirit box sessions like that, a lot of times you guys will have like conversations, and I'm like,
really?
I'm like, I hear snippets of songs. I'm like,
well, they just talk to us, and they talk inside of our head.
I can believe that. But there are times, and it's always, no matter how many times it happens to me, when you get that clear voice, it's an amazing moment every time it happens.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like that one you just played, like I said, the I'm going to punish something is very clear. Well, the I'm going to punish part's clear.
Yep.
Or let's get to the baseline. It's, you're mad at us because we left you with the guy who had the 50 blue plastic drums, wasn't it?
The night
because
I
he was making meth?
Yeah, the meth dealer.
Wasn't that the same investigation we went out and we got some more EVPs?
That actually was a very good investigation. For
you know what?
It was a very small place,
but it just goes to show you that it doesn't have to be a huge mansion house or a good sized house. You could find paranormal activity in the smallest of houses.
My favorite part about that investigation wasn't the paranormal part at all. It was the misconception of the neighbor. Remember, their initial call was that their neighbor was a Satanist.
Going into the back of the woods with ropes on.
And then when we looked into it, he was just a Buddhist looking for a quiet place to meditate.
In Rome, New York, you could understand why that was considered demonic.
But that was...
That was my favorite part of that investigation. No, man, he goes in the woods in robes, and he's always walking around in the woods.
Didn't they even say they went back there when he come back one time, they were looking for an altar, and they never found it and stuff?
Yep.
And, well, that's a good reason why you never found it, because there was none.
His dog had a pentagram collar.
It's like, all right, wrong color robe. His robe is actually orange. That's nothing to worry about.
Turned out he was a Buddhist just looking for a quiet place to meditate.
It's when they're wearing black. Next time I'll stay with the guy with the plastic drums.
Which is a good lesson in misconception of things. And
it sure is.
Not understanding.
Yeah, it is. It is.
We joked about it on the other show, but the more I keep thinking about it, I think we should go for the new TV show. It's going to be called Paranormal Minds. We're going to run the Behavioral Analyst Unit as we study the patterns and mindset of spirits.
I think that show would be stellar.
You know,
let's
that's
see if we could get AJ Cook
idea.
To join our team.
Oh yeah, I'm on board. AJ Cook can join. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Steve, that almost sounds like you have a man crush on whoever A.J. Cook is.
Oh, A.J. Cook. You don't know who A.J. Cook is? Really?
Is it a man?
No, it's a girl.
So, Steve, will you be assuming the role of Gideon?
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
You never seen the TV show Criminal Minds?
Is it the guy who's got the computer that can predict the future?
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
No, we don't know that.
Well, that might be Dr. Dave, but I don't.
I'm beginning to think we're not... Getting
it's
a teleport.
An oscillating unit of. Steve is looking that up. Yes, we're going to do the paranormal version of Criminal Minds. So, who would be the genius kid? Would that be David?
AJ Cook.
She's relatively good looking.
Oh, she's fine.
So, AJ Cook, if you're out there, please call Paranormal Investigator Radio and say hello to Steve.
AJ Cook.
That's a much better picture.
AJ Cook's ha 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 ha.
AJ Cook, if you're out there and you would like to investigate the paranormal with Rome Investigators of the Paranormal.
No. If AJ Cook's out there, she's going to be investigating with me.
But way to ruin that one, Steve.
Our 37 plus.
at least this one's not from Disney.
Is this my? I think this is my first lawsuit, isn't it? The stalking lawsuit.
I was just going to say. Right? So, ladies and gentlemen, expect to see Steve Roscoe on next week's episode of Stalker, Stalker. On ABC. There is a show. Have you seen it out there now? It's based on L.A. about stalking.
I've seen it, but I haven't seen the show. I heard about it. Yes,
it's with the lady who played Nikita. The new Nikita, not the original Nikita.
Okay.
The CW Nikita.
What's her face? Man, I can't remember her name. I'm a huge fan of her, too. The Asian chick.
Well, you see the clues that this ghost left in the toilet? He went through walls. He must be invisible.
You can't see him with the naked eye. He must be invisible.
So he must have shyness. That's why you can't see him. We can analyze a ghost.
Oh, I think so. I think we can. Actually, that's a...
Did you know analyze a ghost rhymes with cinnamon toast?
Analyze a ghost, cinnamon toast.
Okay.
All right, Pete's lost it.
So we got about 4 minutes or so.
How long did it take you guys to recover from Saturday?
My joints still hurt.
The back of my knees are still killing me a little
My
bit.
Back and thighs didn't feel good till today.
Really?
Let's put it this way. When you have a staircase that's 12 foot high and it's outside of your building and you decide to paint it, you might want to put a little sand in there because apparently Rich went down the main one at the Conkling Mansion like a ski slope.
Is that why? Oh. Because like he was very nervous about warning everyone about that, and I thought it was odd. But
yeah, he actually took a header.
Oh,
but wow. I didn't get to question him much about the beginning because Larry came over and started yelling about it.
That
Larry is the Rip mother.
Larry and Rich, we miss you. And Mark.
Yes, we do.
Larry is the Rip mother. Like every Cub Scout has a Den mother.
Larry is the Rip mother, yes.
I remember during the tornado out here and I came in all drenched.
You better get inside.
You better get inside. And then he's like patting me down like the water. You're going to catch the death of a cold.
Have some soup.
It's like, where did that soup come from? But he had soup. It's almost Absolutely. Like when Vinny pulled a hamburger out of his pocket. Want a cheeseburger, man? How long has that been in there? 14 years. They stay good. It's
I was
right
saving now. It for mittens. He doesn't listen to the show, does he? Because he always gets mad when I make mittens jokes.
The bun's a little crunchy. Oh,
Vinny? I don't think anybody listens to our show.
We got a nurse. Hello, nurse.
We should invite her to Rip game night.
We should.
Sure, absolutely. Rip's having a game night?
Yes.
You didn't know about that?
No, I did not know about Rip
you
game night.
You didn't read your emails there.
And what night is Rip game night?
We probably shouldn't say it over
there. No, yeah. Well, our fans will flood the place, and it'll be like the Beatles landing in Shea Stadium.
We'll discuss it off the air.
However, if you do wish to go see the Irish car bomb, Larry O'Grady, he will be performing Friday at the Central New York Playhouse in Shopping Town Mall at 7 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Some of
Chuckle
us
Hook.
Will turn out to vote for you, whether you're funny or not. But that's because what Rip does, we do.
That's right.
And Larry is funny. Don't let Pete dissuade you from that. Larry is.
No, Larry is actually hilarious.
So before our time is over tonight, Pete, what do we else we got going on?
Loversville is the 24th. That has been sold out. That's Excellent. Going to be a ripping good time.
Mm-hmm.
Let me give a on-the-air thank you to Ryan Laurie, who came up from the Fulton County Museum to the Rutger event. And he brought with him 4 dozens of donuts.
Those half moons were to die for.
From Daylight Donuts in Gloversville, he donated them to the event. How is that for kindness?
Really? And I didn't get a one.
The half moons and...
That maple frosted one, I would have killed somebody over
there. And not only the...
I would have killed.
But a member of the Landmark Society made that caramel cake. Forget about it.
There was the caramel cake. Actually, the pasta with the broccoli and the peppers and the garlic oil.
That was very good as well. Actually, the food was really good there.
The ziti, a little overcooked. Yeah. It wasn't ziti anymore at that time. It was like cafeteria macaroni that you used to get when you were a kid.
But the tomato pie, I'm pretty sure, was from Roma's.
Yes.
That located in Utica, New York.
That tomato pie is from Utica?
That's all they're allowed.
Okay, it was.
Roma makes pretty stellar tomato pie.
Yes, actually, that tomato pie was right on. It was
great. It's no B&L, but since we can't get B&L anymore.
Actually, Holland Farms is pretty good, too. See, I like mine soft.
Yeah, yeah. That's I
don't like that dried out.
Any other events we got going on besides Gulliver'sville? We're digressing off to the.
We have next week on October 15th, which I'm not sure Dick would.
Wednesday,
we have a public presentation at the Dunham Public Library in Whitesboro, New York.
Mm-hmm.
Then the weekend after that, on the 24th, as Pete mentioned, we'll be in Gulliver'sville. Mm-hmm. And then on November 7th, just after Halloween, so you should all be available for this, we'll be doing a presentation at the Rome campus of Mohawk Valley Community College.
Rome.
Not Utica.
And on that note, as always, we thank you for listening.
And don't forget to catch the Paranormal Cousins. Dr. Dave and Peter Leonard will be performing a special Halloween presentation in Canton. SUNY Canton. Halloween itself, October 31st.
And if you think Pete's scary now, wait till Halloween.
That's just wrong, man.
We're done.
Go ahead.
We're done. I was going to say, since we are broadcast everywhere, I guess we can also plug on the 29th, you're going to be at
University of Ohio in Athens.
And then on the 30th,
University of Georgia.
All right.
There you go.
I'm Steve Roscoe, Pete Letter, Mike. Good night.
Stay spooky, everybody.
Until next time, happy hunting and stay spooky.